Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the hot box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davidoff Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland, for now. I'm your host, Johnny Midas.
And I'm El Fumo.
And we are smoking the J.C. Newman Yagua. Yeah. The Yagua is like agua with a Y in front of it. We'll talk about where that name comes from in a little bit. This is our annual awards introduction show. So we are smoking this cigar, and then we are going to talk about, you know, we do awards every year, and we're going to talk about the contenders and what we actually award. We're evolving it a little bit this year. Yeah. But this is first and foremost the best cigar podcast on the planet, which means we have to smoke cigars. This is the J.C. Newman Yagua. Let's do the cigar. So, it is J.C. Newman. It is called the Yagua. We will talk more about that later. But we always look at it first before we chop it up. This box, fucking awesome. I love the presentation. Like the this is amazing. It looks like something that floated down the Amazon River in a canoe or something. Or maybe it's in that Indiana Jones warehouse, you know?
Yeah.
But it is a wooden crate, a legit wooden crate with a flip top that says Yagua on top. I guess we'll talk about this when we rank it on presentation, but goddamn.
Yeah,
it is fucking awesome. Now, the cigar itself has this unique what-the-fuck-happened-to-you look.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that.
That's pretty cool.
Why does it look that way? Two things. One, band, great. The color scheme goes, the design goes. They didn't try to put like some fancy, you know, my father band on this rustic cigar. But they also didn't mail it in. Mm-mm. And I'm not saying Oscar Valladares mailed it in, you know, with the leaf.
Yeah.
Because the effort they put into the cigar pulp band that you can literally smoke with the squid ink, ink or whatever, so you could literally smoke the band. Like, they put a lot of thought and effort into it, but it looks super rustic.
Yep.
Too rustic. This doesn't. Looks like a legit cigar band, but also one that knows what it's doing, what its purpose is. I think it goes really well. As far as the cigar itself, nothing else looks like it, and I think, you know, you'll either love it or hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more technical aspects, very light tooth. This is a mottled medium to dark brown. I don't have any issues with mine whatsoever. It is a triple cap. It is on there perfectly. I don't have any pinholes. I do not see any imperfections in mine.
I have one little pinhole, but I'm not even worried about it.
Okay.
It's just like this cigar, even though it's oddly shaped, and we know the reason why. We'll explain it here in a moment. But even with that going on, it's like there's no like actual imperfections to the stick.
Yeah. It is really good looking. Now, I like the fact that, hey, nothing else looks like this.
Mm-mm.
You know, I think it's cool. Some people, you know, like if you're looking for something that is shiny, luxurious, something that matches my outfit that I'm wearing right now, this probably isn't it. On the other hand, you could literally clamp this between your teeth as you drive your Toyota 4Runner onto a canoe and cross a crocodile-infested jungle and be right at home. But you could also smoke it in the boardroom. That's what it looks like. So, why don't we go ahead and get this cut and lit, and the official cutting is brought to us by Lord Baltimore Distributors.
Hey, look at that. New sponsor.
The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do.
And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. That'll get you that nice, crisp clip. I am wearing my Hamilton Bolton American Classic wristwatch.
I'm wearing my wrist. Nice bare naked.
And today we have Bare Naked Angel on the show.
By the way, that's pretty cool. This cap is pretty stiff.
Oh, yeah. It's a triple cap.
Yeah.
All right. So we got that clipped. If you're audio only, we did the hand job right after that. Angel and I both do our own hand job. We don't do hand jobs for each other. So that's just something we came up with on the show where we just, that's a boundary that we're not going to cross. You know, I know Nick and I used to trade hand jobs. You know, he'd do mine, I'd do his. And it just got a little awkward. So now I do my own hand job, you do your own hand job.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, it's just, it's good professional boundaries. This is going to go in our mouth afterwards. and so that's what we came up with. So, yes, I do click the explicit contents box when I'm publishing
this to you. It's like, hey, guys.
This is not a child-friendly show.
It's the 21 and over show. If the tobacco
wasn't a dead giveaway, right?
Right.
We're going to drink alcohol and smoke cigars. Bring your kids.
Sure.
All right, it is time for
the... It's not the 70s anymore.
right. Oh, yeah, the non-smoking section of the restaurant, it's that stool in the corner.
Yeah.
It's time for the official lighting, and I'm lighting up with my ST DuPont gold-plated flat-flame, dual-flame, fuck-you-money torch. And you are lighting up with...
My poor man's lighter, but hey, it works.
That's not poor
man's lighter. My DBL.
Single flame. That's actually a really good lighter.
Yeah. It's a nice desktop.
All right. Let's go ahead and light these.
The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
As always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. We do have a video, I believe it's default video on our YouTube page on how to light a cigar, Burn Light Podcast way, that kind of shows you what we mean by toasted, not roasted. But you just want to get that cherry going without actually lighting the stick on fire. You don't want to pull that flame into the pipe where it, you know, pulls that singe and sort of like acrid taste in.
Yep.
If you do it right, the first couple of puffs are fucking amazing. They just are. And if you do it wrong, then you have to burn the first half inch off your cigar.
Or the whole cigar.
All right, I'm having a little bit of issue where I clipped the cap with, I think it's because of the triple cap.
Yeah.
So I pulled a little leaf off. Did you do the same thing?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But other than that, same put, nothing else. I think it was just a little loose thing. Dude, this is flavorful right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, this is second, third for you?
Yagua?
Yeah.
I think it's like fourth or fifth, but okay. Yeah.
This is my first Yagua, so.
Okay.
This is going to be.
Yeah, I re-smoked it for the show, but then I had smoked two or three before that, I think. Love this stick.
Whoa.
I guess I'm giving the secret away. Give me your initial tasting notes.
Well, first of all, there is a party in your nose on the retrohale. Like a literal fucking party in your nose.
And the smoke is not harsh in the nose doing the retrohale. This is one I think most people could retrohale every puff if they wanted.
So right off the bat, a shit ton of everything from the baking rack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting a lot of nutmeg, maybe a little bit of anise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting some pepper, but not like spicy pepper. Like
yep. Hint of black pepper.
Yeah. But holy shit, like it just blends in together, and then, like I said, it's a fucking party in your nose.
Okay, so here's what I've got. First of all, there's cedar. Take a big puff, even a double puff, and hold it in the very back of your palate.
Okay.
Like you're about to do a retrohale, but don't retrohale.
Okay.
And then retrohale. Do you taste the bacon?
Yo, yeah.
Right? Shit. Right? Okay, whoa. So there is a cedar carrier note.
Wow.
There is definitely sizzling bacon.
Dude, like dead-ass bacon.
Dead-ass bacon.
Holy shit.
There is pepper. You're absolutely right. There is allspice. Yes, a touch of anise. Nutmeg. Maybe something else. No cinnamon, though.
Like applewood bacon.
Yeah, it is. It is. It tastes like applewood smoked bacon.
Holy shit, dude. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I like this.
It's that one spot on your palate, like in the back.
Yeah. If I didn't hold it, you wouldn't taste it.
And then, yeah, that is so cool. Super flavorful so far. So, all right, let's tell everybody about this cigar, right? So, this is the Yagua from J.C. Newman. This is a approximately 6x54 Toro. Approximately, because it's shaped like this.
Mm-hmm.
And this retails at Davidoff Cigars for $10.49 a stick. The box of 20 is $187.99, which saves you $20. So it's like getting two free sticks. So very affordable. And of course, you know, that includes the Maryland floor tax price, right? So super affordable. And the factory it's rolled in is the Puros de Esteli Nicaraguas S.A. or PENSA. You might have heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the Newman factories, which is in Esteli. So this has a USA Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. I do not know the aging methodology. They don't call it a Maduro. It is a dark brown, mottled.
It's definitely not
lightly toothy.
Like Connecticut.
This is a Connecticut broadleaf. This is not Connecticut shade, and it is not shade grown or anything like that. This is Connecticut broadleaf, and you know, that's a rustic leaf. I think it has high elasticity, which makes actually a pretty good wrapper, but it's just ugly and it's a little thick. The binder and filler are undisclosed Nicaraguan. And so I would expect this to be a little on the strong and peppery side because all Nicaraguan tobacco is peppery.
Yeah.
It's just a question of how much. Although, I do have to say, like, the Condega, man, like, it's no more peppery than... Mm-hmm. It's not as unpeppery as you can get in the Dominican Republic, but it's as peppery as, like, sun-grown Dominican. So, not very, in other words. And then, okay, so the body on this cigar so far, and we'll let you know if it changes, but I had it in the pre-smoke as full-bodied. I think that is a fair assessment.
Yeah, I got it mid-full.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, strength, we do on a 1 to 10 scale. For me, this is starting out at like a 4.
Yeah, agreed.
There's not a lot of strength. And I think if you take the strength component of the body, if you set that aside,
yeah,
I think you'd probably say it's full-bodied. Like, it does have body. The smoke has structure.
Yeah.
Lots of flavor. It sort of sticks to your palate. But it doesn't have strength.
No.
So right now, I've just got a straight 4.
Not a smooth smoke either. Not like smooth as in...
Well, I hate that word, so I'm, you know, you're probably not wrong, but I don't know what it fucking means anymore in the cigar industry. I associate smooth with two things, either a silky texture to the smoke and or creamy flavor and texture.
Which is none of this.
Which is none of this, along with sort of muted flavors.
Mm-hmm.
So I would call like the Davidoff Winston Churchill we smoked, I would call that smooth. This is mild or medium. It is not smooth. This has got very, like, well-defined, crunchy, hard-edged flavors.
Yeah.
It is like, hey, bro.
Like, you could literally crunch the smoke. It's so
weird. Like, you're smoking me now, man.
Yeah.
And then for flavor, we talk about simple, mid, and complex, as well as the flavor notes that we're tasting. Simple is one or two flavors the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
Mid is more than one or two, but it doesn't really change flavors. Might have some flavors drop out or whatever. Maybe like one that's kind of evolved. And then complex is, no, I'm changing flavors.
Yeah.
We will see how that goes. I won't tell you what I came up with on the pre-smoke, pre-show smoke. All right, so why is it so funky looking?
Yeah. Are you asking me or do you?
No, I'm asking the audience rhetorically, but okay. I wanted to actually smoke it. Gotcha. So, smoke break. By the way, side note, At this point, you know, after smoking a couple, I would not pair this cigar with anything.
Really? Did you try? What'd you try with?
Well, I had coffee because I always do that. Mm-hmm. I did not try it with alcohol, but it's because the cigar is so flavorful.
Yeah.
First of all, I can't think of anything it would pair with. And second, I don't want to, like, mute it because it is fairly mild. Although, based on the notes that I took before, the strength is going to pick up. And by the time you get down to the band, you're going to be like, oh, this is a Nicaraguan cigar.
Yeah.
But I'll let you experience it.
Ghost punch.
Yeah, ghost punch.
Muhammad Ali ghost punch.
Yes. So why is it so ugly? So the story, which, you know, I love. I fucking love this. Like, if you're going to do cigars, like, it needs to be more than just something I can put in my mouth and enjoy. Like,
it's
the branding, how it looks, the story. It adds to the experience. So this starts in Cuba in the 40s. And Lázaro López is the general manager of Pensa. And he was basically telling Drew, who's the owner of J.C. Newman, fourth gen. But he was telling him that at his family farm in Cuba, his grandfather would take the fresh tobacco leaves from the curing barns and roll cigars without molds or presses, right? And so if you don't know the terminology, it's not always clear. We talk about cigar terminology. Some people use mold and press interchangeably.
Yeah.
Some people use mold to talk about the machine that basically rolls up the bundle with the wrapper, and the press to talk about after you put, or sorry, with the binder, and the press is after you add the wrapper, you put it in in the press. But he wouldn't use, he would just roll up tobacco, right? Like a fucking Mayan, you know, or Aztec, you know, old school. And then he would tie a bundle of them together, not like a wheel, a 50 or a half wheel, but like 5 or 10 or something, using pieces of the Cuban royal palm, tree leaf. And of course, those are known as yagua.
Yep.
So that's where the name came from, yagua. And then when he was, you know, ready to smoke them, he'd untie the bundle, and all the cigars had a unique shape because, you know, they're still wet when you bundle them together and you tie them up with this leaf, and they take on, each one has a unique shape, right? And so what Newman has done is they have made a cigar this way, and we get to experience the way that, you know, like the peasants would experience cigars back in Cuba in the 1940s, right? Where, you know, to sort of save money and stuff, they didn't bother with the fancy part, right?
Plus, it was they were actually expensive. Like the
they were absolutely expensive. So. The molds and the equipment, yeah, hard to get. Also, actually bundling them together wet changes the way that the tobacco ages and and cures and introduces some of these amazing flavors that we're experiencing. By the way, if you get the box, these still have the yagua leaf tied around it.
Holy shit.
When you get it from the factory. Right? Super cool. And so each one has its own shape.
I would definitely, so I would be interested in smoking two out of a bundle, one from the outside and one from the inside, and
see the difference. That would be cool.
Because we don't know what we got from this, but I'd imagine there's a difference between the inside and the outside.
Seems like there would be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to experiment with that.
Yeah, because your inner one is probably going to be holding more moisture, which is not aging as quickly, and then the outside will be aging.
What's super cool to me about this cigar is, like I said, the crate box. Oh, my God.
I like
that's
the
amazing.
Shape, dude. I love
the shape of the cigar. Like, nobody else has one. You know, like, this is it. It's not like a Parejo, you know, or Torpedo. Everyone has that. This is the only one. Rich, delicious, flavorful, and affordable.
Yes.
$10.
Dude, okay, so I'm going to make a pre-statement right now. This is probably my favorite J.C. Newman so far. Spoiler alert.
Well, I can tell you that I like it better than the American. But that wasn't really in my wheelhouse, if you remember the flavor profile.
Yes, I did.
I really like the Julius Caesar.
Okay.
That's closer to my palate. but damn, this is a good cigar. And, man, this can be a daily smoke, dude. $10 a stick.
God, this is so good.
And it just, it has that feel, you know, that like, yeah. I'm smoking a real authentic thing. Yeah, now, like, it's no more real and authentic than any other cigar in the humidor over
right,
there.
Right,
there. You know, they all are based on decades of refining the craft. But man, it's just, this is like when you go to bootleg barbecue and they're making like burnt ends. You're like, oh, I got the real thing, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, Ruth's Chris is selling you a fucking badass, you know, filet. That's a real steak too. But this feels more authentic because of the presentation. And I feel like this is the bootleg barbecue burnt end of the cigar world, you know, where it's like, no, this is like, you know, I went down to the market place in Central America and this is what they were selling. Yes. You know, that's what it feels like.
And I'm a fan of the rustic look. Like, that's my favorite looking cigar is the rustic. Mm-hmm. And this is as rustic as it gets.
I love the, this is fruit of the ground. Now, I don't know if you remember, you might not because of your age, but back around 2010 is probably when it peaked. 2005 to 2012 era, there was this thing where the high-end cigar manufacturers were really putting effort into making their wrappers shiny and smooth and plastic looking.
And yeah, like, I remember that, yeah, actually.
That is so out.
Yep.
You know, at least in America, it's like, no. This is the fruit of the ground. Like, yeah. I could be, you know, when I smoke a cigar, I'm like John Dutton. Like, I have tons of money and I'm fucking awesome, but also I can shoot you, man. You know, like, so this connection with the earth and ecology and all, like, that's the cool thing now.
And I want it to look like where it came from.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, I want to experience the country.
Yeah.
Not being able to go there.
Right. No, I agree completely. You know, it's like if you buy a French wine, like, I want it in a bottle that looks French. I want French on the wrapper label. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to look fucking French. And that, or you can get California wine, and it's just got like a fucking kangaroo on it or something. So
damn kangaroo.
That's wine. Well, I guess that would be Australian wine, but
it's not even.
Well, anyway, that is the J.C. Newman Yagua. What it's all about. Anything to add on the flavor side, tasting?
Dude, nothing yet, but dude, it's just like every puff is a party in your mouth, and it's just, it excites the shit out of my palate every time I take a puff.
All right, so tell me this, because, you know, you're farther in, you're more than an inch in. Has the strength and pepper picked up?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, it's a 5 now. It went from a 4 to a 5 in 1 inch.
By the way, the, what do you want to call it? Oh my God. The secondhand smoke, there we go, brain fart. Smells pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's not, the secondhand smoke is not stinky.
No. It's, you know what it reminds me of? I've smelt this, a burnt, it's a weird smell, a burnt rubber tree.
I have not ever smelled a burning rubber tree.
Really?
Yeah, I've smelled burnt rubber, but that's different.
No, this smells like a burnt rubber tree. Hmm. And yes, rubber grows on trees, if you didn't know.
Have you seen those commercials for the spruce sap gum?
No.
And they're like, this is why it's so expensive. This is how they used to make all chewing gum. And spruce sap is more expensive than gold now, so don't complain about the price of our gum. Have you seen? Mm-mm. Okay, that must be targeted ad for Johnny Midas's price book or something. But I keep getting these like in my feeds, and I kind of want to try it.
Yeah, you should buy it then.
Yeah, I kind of want to try it, but it just, you were talking about rubber trees.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminded me, like, yeah, you know, gum used to come from gum trees.
Yeah, gum tree. You know, rubber tree. Yeah.
Now it comes from fucking petroleum.
It's
like, oh my God. I can't believe we put that in our mouth.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's rubber trees in Mexico. So.
All right, so, man, it is already time for our first break. So let's go to break. When we come back, we will talk about our annual awards.
Ooh.
Don't go away. And we are back on Burnline Podcast, uncommon cigar knowledge for the common cigar smoker. I am your host, Johnny Midas.
And now Mel Fumo. And we're fuming.
Nobody can see you with that fucking hat, dude. The lighting is so shit in here.
Uh-oh.
Are we gonna get
censored
for that?
I think it's 5 seconds.
Is it like 5 seconds?
5 or 8 seconds. Yes, there is a legit 5 or 8 second rule for copyright infringement.
All right, so we'll let that one.
Yeah, we'll let it slide.
Let that one through.
All right, so time for our annual award. So really exciting. We are wrapping up the year. Hard to believe that we have been with you guys every week of the year, smoking a cigar, celebrating the fine life and the cigar lifestyle. And we like to give shout outs at the end of the year. Nobody knows who we are or cares, so our awards don't really matter, but we like to give them out anyway. So this year we have 3 awards. The first award is the Manufacturer of the Year. Now, this is any manufacturer that stood out to us for one reason or another as kicking ass.
Yep.
We do not have to have smoked that manufacturer's product on the show. There's only 52 weeks in the year.
Yeah.
And like you said, 3 of those were Newman. So, and then the second category is Brand of the Year. And same thing, any brand that took notable action this year. You know, and of course, a brand is not a manufacturer, right? So you have a manufacturer like Newman, and the Yagua is a brand. The Diamond Crown is a brand, and there's sub-brands of the Diamond Crown. There's the Black Diamond, the Julius Caesar, et cetera. And so brand and manufacturer are not the same. So we carved those out. You could have a big manufacturer like General. They might be doing great things, but a brand of General is completely different
right,
from the whole deal. And then we have Cigar of the Year. This is the big, important one, and the main rule here is it has to be a cigar we smoked on the show, okay? So here's the deal, everybody. Click the link down below the description to our link tree, and on that you will find a link to submit Manufacturer of the Year, or Brand of the Year, or Cigar of the Year. Mm-hmm. Now, if you pick a cigar that we haven't smoked on the show, we will try to smoke it before the end of the year. We only have a few weeks left, but we will try to do that. Or you can just send us cigars and we'll smoke them on the show. And they will be included in the running. Yeah. So go ahead and click on the link below and vote, because this is your show. And we will take into account, you know, what people have to say before telling you you're wrong and picking the correct winner. So here's how we're going to do Cigar of the Year. There's actually 3 buckets. There is the fine cigar, which is up to $12. There is the premium cigar, which is $1,201 to $1,999. And then there is the luxury, which is $20+.
Yep.
Each of those categories will have a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will go head-to-head for the coveted Cigar of the Year. So we might get, you know, here's the winner of the fine cigar category. That is great. That is an honorific. Even if we don't have an award for it, you won the category. But there can only be one Burnline Podcast Cigar of the Year.
Yes.
And, of course, to qualify, we have to have smoked it on the show. So let's review what we have smoked this year. So why don't we start at the beginning of the year and kind of work our way forward? Way back, now this was actually the last day of 2023, but it was after we had awarded last year. Mm-hmm. So it counts on this list. The Crowned Heads 4 Kicks Mule Kicks Limited Edition 2023 Toro. And of course, this is in the premium or middle segment because it retails for $12.50.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had the Fat Boy Cigars Thin White Line Toro, which is in the fine cigar category at only $7.25. I can't remember the Thin White Line. I can't remember what we were tasting on that, but
I don't remember. It's
the
too long ago.
The Thin Green Line really stood out.
Dude,
because
that was so good.
It was a Candela that was good. And then the next cigar we smoked was the Newman, J.C. Newman Perla del Mar Corojo Toro, which got really good review. That was a delicious, most Corojos are.
Yeah.
Delicious Toro that retails for $8. By the way, the MSRP that I'm putting in here is not necessarily what you're going to pay, but also it is current price, because that's only fair. We have some cigars on here that have gone up in price significantly since we smoked them. So this is what they're currently selling for on this list. By the way, we are smoking the J.C. Newman Yagua. Do you taste the chocolate?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it introduced a chocolate note.
Yeah, like cocoa. Dude, this thing's dope.
This is a good cigar, man. This is dope. And then after that, we smoked the Perdomo 30th Anniversary Sun Grown Robusto, which retails for $12. And for the Perdomo 30th Anniversary Sun Grown, I am actually going to make an exception and put this in the middle or premium category because we smoked the smallest one, which is right at $12. All the other ones are above that. And so I think it's fair for this one to be in that mid-cap, even though technically it's right on the line. Right. So we're going to count that as a premium. That was a great cigar. Really enjoyed that one. After that was the CAO Amazon Basin 2024. And I remember we loved that one. Retailing at $14.50. That's firmly in the premium cigar or middle bucket.
Mm-hmm.
That one had like this rustic, almost like you're fucking driving a boat, a canoe down the Amazon River flavor to it.
Yes.
And why don't you take the next five?
All right. So we had the Monte Cristo Classic Connecticut Robusto coming in at 17, which is pretty average for a Monte Cristo, so that'll put it in the luxury, or sorry, the premium.
Yeah, in the bucket. It's in the middle bucket, and I think we both agreed on that one. Like, it's actually a pretty good cigar.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
But the value wasn't there?
Yeah, you're not a big Monte Cristo fan.
I mean, most of the ones that I've smoked are just overpriced. Yeah. I think it was a great $12 stick.
Yeah. And then speaking of Candelas, the Asylum 13 Ogre, $6.60, $10. That's a lot of stick for $10, which is normal for, you know, CLE Asylum.
And we smoked the 660, which is a 6-inch by 60 Gordo, but they also have the 770, the 880.
which you are not a fan.
Yeah, maybe a different size. And that is a barber pole. Mm-hmm. So that is Maduro, I think.
Maduro and Candela, yeah.
And Candela.
Which is really good. I thought it was good.
It was a good cigar. That was a good medium-bodied, medium-strength, flavorful cigar.
That's easy.
Yeah, I'm not the Gordo guy, but that was a good cigar.
That's easily a $15 stick, but damn, man, $10, let's go. And then we have the Placencia Cosecha 151 Robusto, $13, which is a great price for Placencia.
Yeah, it is the smaller one. It's the Robusto. But also, I don't know if you remember, that cigar scored a 41.
Yeah.
That was a very highly ranked cigar on the show. We loved the sophisticated strength, you know, and balanced flavor on it.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the best cigars for such a low-ass price, you know, that top secret cigar, the Buenaventura Picadores Toro for $5.40.
Oh, my God. Get
easily another $15 stick.
And it is a box-pressed Toro, and it is like... So... It does not taste... It tastes like a Placencia. Mm-hmm. It does not taste like a Padron. You know how Padron has got, like, that punch you in the fucking face flavor?
Yeah.
But it did have that Placencia, or I'm sorry, that Padron characteristic of kind of being a one-note cigar all the way through. Really good one-note, but one-note cigar. What a great budget stick, dude. Like, that is the hidden gem. If you want a daily smoke that tastes like a luxury cigar, and they're kind of cool because they come in the old-fashioned wooden boxes like Padrons do, for five, holy shit.
Yeah, dude.
Right? Yeah. You're not getting anything close in that price range.
And then we got, up next is the limited edition St. Patrick's Day Alec Bradley Filthy Hooligan Toro for $11.
Oh, that was our Kiss Me, I'm Irish episode.
Yes.
I remember that one. Yeah.
That was a good stick as well. What was that, like...
Or as I like to say, everyone is Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Except the Scottish. We're still Scottish.
Yeah. Was that like a Sumatra with a Candela? I don't remember what the other leaf was.
I don't know. It was just a Claro color.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a natural or something.
Yep. And then next, the Tata, I have my father, La Union Churchill, $60.
Yes, and I smoked the Tatuaje and you smoked the father's, the my father. Is that correct?
I don't remember.
I believe we did, but they were both rolled by my father.
Mm-hmm.
like all of Tato Ahe's cigars. And, you know, he's married into the family.
Yep.
So he's got that connection. But he blended the Tato Ahe, and my father blended the My Father. I can't remember who smoked what. But the My Father was definitely stronger, which makes sense because, you know, Tato Ahe is like, there's some strong ones, but they do tend to be mid-full, mm-hmm. you know, mellower. A lot of My Fathers are just fucking strong.
Yep.
Although not all of them. All right, and then we had the budget. So the La Union is the first luxury stick at $60. And then we smoked the Alec Bradley Puck, which goes right back into the budget category, the fine cigar. Mm-hmm. The Robusto, just at $5. And I think we both agreed, like, that's a good $5 stick.
Yes.
The challenge is Puck or Buenaventura?
Yeah.
Buenaventura, you know,
easily for me.
For me, easily. The extra 40 cents, I'll take it.
Yeah.
The Puck was a good cigar for $5. Didn't really compete, though, against the Buenaventura.
Right.
I mean, that is just the ultimate budget sleeper cigar. And then another Fat Boy cigar, the Thin Green Line Toro, at $9 or so. Great cigar. It is, you cannot buy it anymore.
Yeah.
It was a limited edition, and they are sold out. And this one donated money to the Fallen Warriors Fund? Mm-hmm. $1 for every stick that you purchased, which is phenomenally generous of Fat Boy Cigars. That's a very high percentage of the sale price. And this was the Candela you want to smoke again and again.
Yes.
It was so bizarre because Candelas have a reputation, and there's a lot of cigar geeks that are like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the Candela. But that's like the whiskey geek that's like, I want the 120 barrel proof, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but it's not actually that good.
Right.
You're just trying to be like a snob. You know, but this Candela is like crap, dude. However they age that wrapper,
mm-hmm.
like, this is a good stick.
Yeah.
So it scored very well, and of course the value's there.
Yeah, it wasn't a bitter ass Candela.
Yeah. Speaking of Tato Ahe, we smoked the Tato Ahe PCA 2023 Toro, and at $15 a stick, this is right there in the middle bucket.
Mm-hmm.
That one did pretty good. I think we lamented the fact that it was a PCA limited, you know, it's not a core line. But then we also said, well, it's similar to a lot of other Tato Ahes, and so kind of no skin off your nose. You can get the flavor somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right? Moving sort of up the foundation, Olmec Maduro. Now, we smoked the Robusto, which the MSRP is $13.50.
Yeah.
Definitely in the middle category.
Yeah.
And we really loved that cigar.
Yes, it was really good.
Yes, and the Olmec does come with a natural. And, of course, like most of Foundation cigars, features a broadleaf wrapper like this one.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a Pennsylvania broadleaf on the Olmec.
Yeah.
This is a Connecticut broadleaf.
Yeah. It did not taste like rubber.
Kissing Cousins, you know, the Pennsylvania broadleaf came from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Now, that was hundreds of years ago.
Yes.
So it could be considered its own strain or whatever, but
I think so.
The original Connecticut broadleaf was Cuban seeds mm-hmm. that were brought to Connecticut. And of course the shade strain came off of that initially, way back in 17 something or whatever.
Something
like it's that. Been a while. And then we dipped our toes back into the luxury segment with the Davidoff Winston Churchill in Churchill, because you can't smoke a Churchill that's not a Churchill. $26.
Yep.
So, you know, not the $60 of the La Union, which, you know, limited run,
right.
Special edition. This is not. This is a core line. All day, every day, it's $26. And we paired it with the Glenglassa Sand End, which was, I believe that was Whiskey Advocate's Whiskey of the Year.
Yeah, and it was pretty good.
Very good. That whiskey was amazing. And then after that, we stayed in or moved back into the middle bucket with the Avo Heritage Robusto. And we loved the story there, like the backstory and the notes on the box. And then it turns out it was a pretty good stick.
Yes, it was. All right, and then moving up, Room 101, Farce Nicaragua Toro, $14.
Oh yeah, that was the one with the beautiful light blue.
Yeah,
and box like and band with like the white flower.
It looked like a lotus flower, but it wasn't a lotus flower.
I think it was supposed to be a tobacco flower, but it was so high, it was from top view and very stylized.
Yeah,
because tobacco
kind of looked like a lotus flower.
But yeah, cause, yeah, it did. I don't know. Tobacco flowers from the side look like a morning glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they're flute or trumpet shaped or whatever you want to call it.
And that's, it's white.
Yeah. So this was a white leaf with, you know, yellow, whatever those fucking sex organs are called in the middle.
Yeah.
just like a tobacco plant, mm-hmm. but it was top view, five. It looked like, you're right, it looked like a lotus. And we liked that cigar.
Yes.
It was a good one.
And then the Rojas Cinco de Mayo 2024 Toro at 1080.
So this is in the budget category?
Yeah, that was our racist Mexican episode.
Yes, our racist Mexican episode. That was a good cigar, man.
Yes, it was.
Like, Rojas makes some good stuff. The street tacos, for example. And, of course, you know, it says right on the band, small ring gauge only.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm the same way. Like, that's me.
Yeah.
So, of course, I like his stuff. But that was a good stick.
Yes, and then the not limit, I guess limited edition, but not really limited edition. It's just limited to get. The Fuente Casa Fuente Corona Gorda, $26. That was that Vegas stick, right?
Yes. So the story there with, and by the way, these are on the shelf right here at Davits Cigars in Westminster. You can buy them right now. They made these exclusively for their Las Vegas lounge. They had trouble selling them because that was right during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used their program to partner with local retailers. They used that program to release these to limited retail partners, of which Davidus was one of not many.
Right.
Initially came out limit 2 per customer. I did not see a limit sign on the box anymore. But we fawned over this stick. This was the budget Opus X. This was an $80 Opus X for $26.
Yes.
And I fucking loved it. Now, you know I'm a Fuente guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's where my palate is. But that was a phenomenal cigar.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is limited release. I don't think it's going to continue, like, to be released to retailers.
Yeah.
It was just, we're overstocked. We're selling selling out.
Yeah.
What and a great cigar.
Three Vitolas, I think, right now at the moment.
Yep.
And then the surprising stick for us, as much shit-talking as we did, we ate some crow on that one. The Gurkha Year of the Dragon by Ramirez, because there was multiple releases of the Year of the Dragon for Gurkha. What, five different manufacturers?
Five manufacturers.
Yeah, so but we got the Ram Ramirez, which is in the Dominican Republic.
And at $25, that was another luxury stick.
Which we're pretty sure was Cuban tobacco.
Yes, now, this is also the one where I had to do a caveat emptor later. This cigar was in the top shelf Sip and Smoke that I attended.
Mm-hmm.
It was a completely different cigar.
Yeah.
And it was not good. So maybe there's a quality control issue there. I don't know. But I asked around. I thought, you know, did I trash my palate? What happened? Because I don't know if you remember that it had like a chocolate and caramel flavor and that light floral aromatic baking rack spice Cuban taste to it.
It was Cuban as shit.
It was Cuban as shit. And so I asked around, and there was literally two guys that smoked like an inch and put it down. It was that bad and didn't finish it. And, you know, and it was a different box than the one that we had. So, and that was a great reminder to everybody. This is part of the hobby, is you will have a cigar that you don't like, try it again. You might like the next one. But it goes the other way too, right? In this case, because it was more than one, I don't think I got a bad stick. I think it was like a bad box or batch. So that was disappointing.
Yeah.
Originally, the one that we had was, it was fucking dope, dude. It was a good cigar.
Yeah.
Not as dope as the Casa Fuente, but it was dope.
And then we have the CAO Flathead V23 Gordo at 14. It was like a soft box press, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty big stick. Mm-hmm. And that one's owed to the shit, which race in Europe?
Was it the Monaco?
Yeah, 24-hour Le Mans. That's what
You're right. It was a 24-hour Le Mans. Yes, a lot of tobacco for the money. Good stick. It did have like that earthy, grassy flavor we associate with a lot of CAOs. And the box was fucking cool. It had like the quilting inside, blue and orange. Really great presentation on that one. And then after that, we jumped onto the Rocky Patel Disciple Robusto at $12. This is right on the edge as well. And this will also go in the middle bucket because it's the least expensive Vitola. All the rest of them are in the $12.01 range.
Great price for a Rocky.
Good price for a Rocky. And also, it scored pretty good. We liked this cigar. And in fact, I think one of our comments was, you know, Rocky's coming out with these $20 sticks, $17 sticks.
Yeah.
This one is as good or better, but it's $12 or $13.
Yeah.
So we liked that because we're a fan of affordable good smokes. And then after that, we smoked the Trinidad Espiritu number 3. So there was the Espiritu number 1.
Yeah.
And that was the strongest one, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I think it was the strongest. The number 2 came out and rectified that a little bit. The number 3 is the mildest of all, but delicious. And we smoked the Robusto at $11. We liked the cigar. We mentioned that this is the American Trinidad, which I believe is a general product.
Yeah.
It's not the Trinidad that you get from Cuba, like so many other brands.
Yeah, and American Trinidad is not cheap either.
No, and for our international listeners, we don't want them to get confused. When we smoke Cohibas and Trinidads and Monte Cristos, we are smoking the American version. So, you know, your Romeo y Julieta, your Monte Cristo.
Cohiba.
I'm not sure who distributes Cohiba, but I know those two are general. Trinidad is general. Cohiba, I can't remember who distributes them. It might be general. All right, and then after that, we had a little bit of a gimmick cigar, the Fratello Lunar Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in the typical Fratello sort of gimmicky packaging in a good way.
Yeah.
Looks like the space capsule. And at $15 for this Toro, yes, it's in the middle bucket. And it was delicious, like most Cameroon-wrapped cigars.
Yeah.
We had some issues with construction.
Yeah, I think it was rushed for the event
that
it was supposed to commemorate.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a couple issues there.
It did not score great, and part of that was the price.
Mm-hmm.
It smoked like an $8 or $9 stick.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed it. And then after that, we smoked the Diamond Crown Julius Caesar.
J.C. Newman.
Also J.C. Newman. And this is an example. J.C. Newman is the manufacturer. Diamond Crown is the brand. And Julius Caesar is the cigar in that brand portfolio. And the Toro is $17. So this is on the high end of the middle bucket. And it did great. You know, you would expect it to. I think you really thought it was a $13 stick.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I could see it being less. And the problem I had with that stick was, man, I can still get some of them. I just bought some Fuentes, you know, $13. Do I want to pay an extra $4? Well, I really don't because, you know, it's not better.
Yeah.
So the value proposition was questionable there. But we went hard the other direction the next week with the Persian King Type Mod 60, which, of course, the claim to fame is you can smoke it either direction.
Yeah.
And I smoked it like from
the Parejo side.
Parejo. I smoked it from the Parejo side, so I lit the torpedo, and you smoked it from the torpedo side. And then it tells you one way is like strong to light, and the other is light to strong.
It wasn't really.
Mm-hmm. It seemed a little gimmicky. But that Gordo was 670.
Yeah, it's
so
a big stick.
So, a lot of tobacco.
Right.
For that price, great smoke.
And it was that conversation we talked about last episode where it's like, some manufacturers are going to abandon that $10 range, which I think is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And Gran Habano's like, nah, fuck that. We're going to stay in that range. So
that is a Gran Habano product, isn't it?
Yes, it is a Gran Habano.
So the manufacturer would be Gran Habano, and the brand would be Persian King. And the Type Mod 60 is the cigar in that brand portfolio. All right, what else did we have?
So we have the Plasencia Alma del Fuego Omotepe, the Toro Torpedo for $100. I thought it was more than $100.
It's $100. That's the MSRP right now. Okay. It's actually a little less. There was a little rush on them to begin. Mm-hmm. We paid like 107.
Okay.
But that's Maryland. Yeah, that's MSRP is 100.
Which was really good because the claim to fame is the first Ometepe wrapper.
It's still the only,
yes,
I believe, Ometepe wrapper.
Which is pretty good because it was Ometepe everything, right?
This was the only cigar we've ever smoked where the presentation scored an 11.
Yeah.
We made up a number. The box was phenomenal.
Oh, dude, the
it had everything. Lava rock from Nicaragua in it.
Yeah.
It had like an enameled metal badge on the front, and then the cigar was in a hand-blown, box-pressed, torpedo-shaped glass tube that yeah. also serves as a fancy dildo. So this was rather expensive for a sex toy.
Oh, my God.
But we loved this cigar.
Yeah, dude, it was just so good.
You know, and we had the, I think, rather rare experience of saying, you should pay $100 for a cigar and try it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to try it again because you can get a just as good Plasencia for $22-24, mm-hmm. but you got to try it once.
Yeah, you do.
You know, so that was interesting. What else did we smoke this year?
The Fernandez Diaz de Gloria Brazil Robusto for $14.50. It wasn't a bad stick, you know. It was an ode to the days of glory for the Cuban cigars. Fortunately, it's not there anymore, or as much, but that's what that cigar came from.
Yeah, and it had a Brazilian wrapper, hence the Brasil.
Yeah.
And I think we both agreed, like, it's a great stick, and Fernandez makes good sticks.
Yes.
But I think we both preferred the original Diaz de Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
We did say, like, both the Brasil and the original are two of the best-looking boxes in the industry.
Yes.
Fucking phenomenal presentation yes. on those. And you don't, you know, you pay for it a little bit. You know, $14.50, that is not affordable.
No.
But
it's still an AJ. Right?
Phenomenal presentation.
Yeah. And then up next, the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua Toro for $11, which is a Plasencia stick.
A 10-year-old
yeah.
Plasencia. All right, so, but I'm going to correct you on
okay.
that. Lord Baltimore is not a Davidis House stick. It is, but other cigar retailers can stock Lord Baltimore cigars. Lord Baltimore Distributors is actually the parent company of Davidis Cigars. Mm. And so all the Davidis lounges have Lord Baltimore cigars, but Lord Baltimore does distribute cigars to other retailers. Now, this is one that you want to smoke.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for $11, it's half price. For most of your aged Plasencias,
yeah.
you're paying double this.
Yeah.
A phenomenal deal.
And they're not as aged.
Yes, they're half the price of Plasencias that aren't even as aged.
Right.
Absolutely mouth-watering stick. I just bought some more. Yeah. I just bought two more.
Dude, it's so good.
I smoked them on the reg for $11, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, in today's market, that is a budget cigar, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the other budget Plasencia...
And that's a Toro buff.
Yeah. The other budget Plasencia, but it's not as aged, is the Primos.
Mm-hmm.
By,
So, here's where I was going with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to smoke the Lord Baltimore in your cigar shop, ask the manager to buy Lord Baltimore cigars. Call them up or look them up on social media, Lord Baltimore Distributors. Reach out. Obviously, they want to make a sale, but yes. this is a cigar that will fucking move. And this isn't the only one. I also bought two of the Lord Baltimore Maduros today. Great, great stick.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just stands out head and shoulders like, fucking buy me.
Hell yeah.
I mean, who is not going to buy a 10-year-aged? I mean, they grew this tobacco before Plasencia released their own brand name.
Yep.
Right? And made these cigars for $11.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. All right. And then what did we smoke after the Lord Baltimore?
The Cohiba Riviera. The Robusto for $20.95. I actually don't remember this stick much. I'm not going to lie.
It had the purple wrapper.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so this was another luxury smoke. What we loved was it, like, the presentation was luxurious.
Okay.
It was a pretty good smoke. But we had a couple things to say about it. The first is naming it after the guy that is literally still in Cuba making cigars because he refused to leave. Is so fucking shit, because this is not Cuban Cohiba. This is the one you get in America. Mm-hmm. It's from the Dominican Republic. And so, like, trying to tap into heritage that isn't theirs just feels shitty. And so the experience was actually, like, to me, it was like wearing a fake Rolex.
Yeah.
You know, which I've never done, and I wouldn't. Either I'm going to buy a fucking Rolex, or I'm going to not.
Right.
But I'm not going to buy a fake one, and that's what this felt like.
Yeah, there's you guys can do your research on it. And we did talk about it on that episode, now that I remember, is the legalities around the Cohiba situation. Right.
Which is currently still being litigated.
It'll probably be litigated forever.
Forever. And then, of course, we both agreed, like, the price point was kind of ridiculous. Yeah. It was like, it should have been 13. For not being
an actual Cohiba.
Yeah, yeah. Although an actual Cohiba will set you back a couple hundred bucks in America. Not that you should circumvent any laws. No, but, you wouldn't be circumventing. You can get... And then after that, we jumped into the Rocky Gold Label. And we smoked it on the day it was available.
Yes.
So that's what we do for you guys out there in the interwebs. The Robusto at $12. This one, again, this is going in the middle bucket.
Yep.
Smallest Vitola. All of them are over 12. This one is right there at 12 instead of 1201.
But you know what? It was a great smoke, though.
It was a fantastic
smoke. The price point for that Rocky, hell yeah. For a gold label?
What was interesting was all of the feedback that I've gotten is, holy shit, this is a great Rocky. Except one person. It was like, I didn't care for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's palate is different. But one of the things that we celebrated was Rocky bringing back approachable prices, because he came out with some fantastic cigars, but they weren't super approachable. You know, the Double Broadleaf Selection, if you like strong cigars, you got to smoke that cigar.
Yeah.
You just have to. But, you know, at $18, man, it's not approachable. And then you're like, well, shit, you know, I'm right in the ballpark of my Plasencias and Padrons, you know, do I really want to?
Yeah, because I know when I started smoking, Rocky was at a very approachable price, and then they jumped into that luxury branding, so, and then it priced itself out.
And then the next cigar we smoked was the Eroa Dark 1118 TAA, and of course, we had the TAA episode later, so folks know what that is, and of course, it's available at Davidus because Davidus is a TAA member.
Correct.
And so these special editions are only available to members. This was a Perfecto at $16. And we had some construction issues, both of us.
Yeah.
It was a great cigar.
It was very nice and coffee, chocolatey.
Yeah, and I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, the construction issues beforehand didn't carry over into the smoke.
No.
We both popped our
wrapper
and glued it back together, and but it ended up not affecting the smoke, so that was kind of lucky.
I think your guess for that one was the shipping. It was a shipping issue.
I believe it was. It was behaving like a cigar that was shipped UPS in winter and got brought inside and warmed up too fast.
Yeah.
That's exactly how it was behaving.
So the Fuente Padron collab, the Legends episode. They were both Churchill's 178 a stick, limited edition, super limited edition.
And I think they were more than that at the time we smoked them. There was a big rush on these, and I want to say that they were 200 something a stick.
Yeah, I was gonna say we didn't pay.
It broke the 200 mark.
I smoked the Padron, and you smoked the Fuente.
And so our takeaway on that. Now remember, all of the proceeds are going to charity.
Yes.
But our takeaway was, this is a fine Fuente that I could purchase for $80.
Yep.
And yours was, this is a fine Padron that I could purchase for $25.
Yep.
So, not a letdown by any means. Way overpriced. Mm-hmm. Delicious cigars. And if you're a collector or you have fuck you money, just go ahead and smoke it or collect it.
Yep.
But that was kind of our takeaway. It was great Fuente, great Padron. They both taste like a Fuente and a Padron, but not worth it.
Yeah. Great cause, but it's just, that great cause was too expensive.
Yes.
All right, and then next we had this was a Backyard Bullshit episode. The Hoyo de Monterrey Excalibur Cameroon Churchill for $11, which is a lot of tobacco for $11.
Yeah, that's right in our budget bucket, the fine cigar category. Yeah, I named them fine, premium, and luxury. But it's really cheap, not cheap and expensive.
Right. It's like, and the problem is like you call it a budget stick, and then people are like, "Oh, that means it's no."
Yeah, a lot of stick for the money, and like most Cameroon wrapped cigars, we loved it. You know, it smoked like an $11 Churchill.
Yeah. Still not a terrible stick though. I mean, it wasn't a great price.
It wasn't a terrible stick. I think at the price point, it was a great value. Despite the fact that I'm not a big fan of, and by the way, I put Churchill as the Vitola because that's what it was, but they call it like the Lancelot or something. The Arthur, the Merlin, the Lancelot.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the Maestranza episode. Like, just shut up, dude. Like,
yeah, just standardize the damn.
Or call it a Lancelot, which how they fucking whiffed in not making a Lancero named Lancelot.
Right.
I don't know, but call it like the Lancelot Churchill.
Right.
And the King Arthur, whatever, Toro, whatever it was, or something. But come on, guys, like, spare us the drama.
Yeah.
Ooh, can I take the next one?
Yeah, go for it.
And the next one, we smoked the Ray Lewis.
Yep.
Legendary Moments 52, which is his new Toro at $35. We got the exclusive rights to live record the first event, the unveiling event with Ray Lewis. Sat down and chatted to Ray Lewis.
Yes.
Check out that episode. Sorry about the shitty audio, but the acoustics were terrible in the room. What a gentleman. Great guy.
Dude, seriously, what an awesome episode.
Very nice guy. But this is the new Ray Lewis cigar, and you got to listen to his story on there because this is not a cigar that has his fucking picture on it.
Yeah.
First of all, it looks like a luxury stick.
Yeah.
Unlike the previous one, that's not a knock. It just looked gimmicky with his face and signature.
And like he flat out said it wasn't really what he wanted to begin with.
Yeah, it wasn't his cigar.
He's like, okay, it has my name. Like he literally said, it has my name. That was it. I didn't get to choose this. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tried it and then he's like, nah, I'm gonna make my own.
This one is his stick.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to tune into the episode to get that story.
Yeah.
But here's what's interesting. This is in the luxury bucket at $35, and we both agreed it is worth it.
Yeah.
And I would smoke it again at $35. It is a really good cigar.
Yeah.
This is a luxury stick that stands right up there, head and shoulders, you know, elbows out with the other $35 cigars and beats most of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's only because most $35 cigars are a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's a $20 cigar that they bump the price up on.
Yep.
Right? So that was an interesting smoke. You know, it was a luxury smoke, and we're like, hey. And we told Ray, like, we're cigar people.
Yeah.
We're here to judge your cigar on the cigar. Fuck you. This is not we're not Ravens fans.
Well,
we are Ravens fans.
Yes.
We're not Ray Lewis fans.
Yeah.
We are Ray Lewis fans. But that's not how we're judging the cigar. But it was a really good cigar.
Yes.
It was a great stick. All right, you can have it back.
Okay. You needed a fangirl over there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then we had the CAO Arcana Thundersmoke Toro Grande for $13, which wasn't a bad stick. It was like the first legit African tobacco.
Dude, I loved that cigar so much. First of all, the packaging and presentation mm-hmm. was fucking off the chain.
Yep.
That like black wrapper with the black tattoo, different color black tattoo on it was just amazing. And then it tasted great. And then there was the added thing of like, there is some African tobacco in here you're not going to get in another stick. You know, unless you're buying a puto from Africa, you know, like you're on safari.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it felt to me smoking. It was like, I'm on safari.
It's like, okay, sure, you're smoking a Cameroon, whatever, off
yeah.
the shelf, but
yeah.
it's not like an actual African Cameroon.
Right, right.
So, yeah, and you're getting that with the Arcana. So that was pretty
Kenyan
cool.
tobacco.
Kenyan.
It's yep.
fast tobacco.
Yes, it's very fast. It wins all the races.
All right, and then up next, we had the HVC, so Havana City Hot Cake Golden Line Toro for $10.25.
That one scored great.
Yeah,
that was a delicious Connecticut.
Great
that's
budget.
Surprisingly smoke. Strong for a Connecticut. Mm-hmm. That's one where it's like, okay, it's not as strong as the regular Hot Cake,
mm-hmm.
which I think was like an 8 in strength
yeah.
for me. We didn't smoke it this year. I smoked plenty of them.
Right.
I've had a whole humidor full of HVC. You remember that?
Yes,
like
I do.
I got the 5-pack.
Yeah, had a shit ton.
I got like 5 of the 5-packs. Yeah. That was a really delicious smoke. I love what HVC is doing. So, And then we smoked the Newman Bricktoberfest Limited Edition Pigtail, and we had our beer steins that we got for purchasing the I got the box, and we got the stein. You had to buy seven to get the stein. And retailing at $12, very approachable Toro.
Yeah. We drank the Sam Adams Oktoberfest with it, which actually which is a Marzen. Well.
Very great pairing.
Yeah.
Really delicious.
Accidental. Great pairing.
Not accidental. Well, I did that on purpose. unlike the fucking Voodoo Ranger pumpkin beer.
Know.
I mean,
nope.
Fucking shoot me in the face. That was disgusting. Are they going to censor that? They're probably going to censor that. But we follow that back-to-back with another Newman, the American, and that is the most American cigar in the history of history. Everything is American. The band, the fucking cellophane, the box, everything is American, which is probably why the Robusto retails for $17.50.
Yeah.
This one I am probably going to put in the luxury category because the other Vitolas are over $20.
Yeah, they were.
So we'll see.
That's pretty good smoke.
I'll do some research. It was pretty good. I remember it not being my wheelhouse for flavor, but it was delicious and flavorful.
Yeah.
And we kind of came with, like, our takeaway was, you know, if things go south in South America, no pun intended, this is what cigars are going to cost.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's actually going to happen. So and we already talked about it.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. And these are rolled in El Rilo in
Ybor City.
Ybor City.
Yeah.
Which is part of Tampa.
Yeah.
By the way, they do, like, you can literally rent out the buildings and stuff to do weddings and wedding receptions. It's pretty cool.
I got some pretty cool Jason Newman news, by the way.
Sweet. Which we need to get to. So let's wrap it up. These are recent episodes. Hopefully you remember the Illusion ESPTAA 2022. Toro Gordo at $15. Delicious smoke.
Yes, it was.
And of course, limited edition. They aren't making any more. What do we say? 1,500.
Yeah, not that.
10 count boxes.
And then we drank that Japanese whiskey with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Whiskey from the barrel. And then we had the Roma Craft Maestranza Catalonia. I can't pronounce the rest.
Dude, and then that was our gripe with the freaking Vitola naming. Like, stop it. Don't.
And that was a box pressed. Was that a Robusto?
Something like that.
It was more like a Corona, box press Corona. I can't remember. But at $9.50, hey, that's in the affordable bucket, and that was a great stick.
It was.
If you like mid-full, like Roma Craft typically makes strong cigars. It was a little milder.
Yeah.
Great cigar. And then we smoked the Foundation Knight Commander Perfecto at $40.
Overpriced.
Firmly in the luxury category. And our takeaway was this was not a $40 cigar in any way. The presentation wasn't there. The cigar itself was ugly. And it smoked fine. But, dude, I can get a Foundation for $20 or less. We smoked the Foundation Olmec for $12. So it didn't score very well. And then, of course, last week we smoked the Go Fuck Yourself by Sokka, the Lancero. MSRP of 15 per stick. You actually have to pay 150 for 10.
Yeah, because they don't come individually.
But I still think, you know, that's still mid-range. I'm putting in there in the cost per stick instead of the box. And they were fucking awesome.
They were actually
not
pretty
lie.
Good.
Yeah, they were great.
I smoked the number two. You smoked the...
I smoked the number two. You had the NFM, LA, THA, or whatever.
Like
yeah. The actual production line. But I smoked all of them. And by the way, I finished the second box, too.
There you go.
Yep. Those are gone.
Yeah. Oh, and it went out as soon as you stepped out the door, which is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about, like, don't smoke Lanceros outside. And we're done with the show, and I step outside. And, I mean, I took a puff. I stepped outside into the November weather. Out. I mean,
instantly.
Like that. I just stepped through the door, and I'm like, cherry's gone.
Yep.
Right? So... That was kind of cool. Like, yeah, that was the tobacconist tip of the week.
Don't smoke your Lanceros outside.
All right, well, it's time for a break. When we come back, we'll do the cigar news of the week. Keep your dial locked in to the dulcet tones of Burn Line Podcast.
our news, so we're smoking a Jason Newman, and it happens that I have some Jason Newman news.
All right.
So it's kind of cool. So, you know how you can build your car and order it from a manufacturer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jason Newman is launching a custom cigar blend program, so you can go online and blend your own cigar.
Interesting.
Yes. So this is going to be kicking off here soon, and those sticks will be made at El Rilo in Ybor City. So basically, you can order the blends, and their age will be anywhere from 3 to 12 months. The charges are going to be for $250 for the Constellation and $30 for a minimum of 80 custom cigars, bringing the total price to $2,650. So it's not going to be cheap. So it's kind of like you're making your own limited run.
Yeah, yeah. That's pretty cool, though. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of cool.
So, and as expected, okay, so you're going to be waiting 6 months, but I totally understand
that. Yeah.
But I'm, dude, I mean, yes, the
my price, wheels are turning.
So the price is a little off-putting, but it's like, look at what you're actually getting. You get to blend.
What, so the price per stick is?
Like $30.
That's not bad for a custom blended Newman. Right,
but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's the experience. Okay, you don't get to go down there and do it, but you get to do it from your computer. Yeah.
Now, you can't buy just one for $30.
No.
But.
Yeah. But that's the cool thing is, like, how often do you get to do that? I mean, I've never heard of that unless you're making your own, like, line.
Well, that's what they're doing. And, of course, there's several companies out there. You can go do that right now.
Yeah.
But to get it from Newman, that's different.
Yeah.
And it's about the same price. So that's pretty cool.
Cigars International opens another store in Pittsburgh. We talked about, I think, what was it, Jersey or...
Yeah.
So CI is really making a push in this year. And
their
year.
HQ is what? Outside of Philly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they are fucking doing it. El Septimo announces price increases for 2025. So big surprise.
That's unfortunate.
Big surprise.
Yeah, well, you know, we wrap up the year with a celebration of the new year and predictions.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time one of my predictions wasn't what prices are going to go up.
Right.
To me, that's unfortunate because I've smoked several El Septimos. I really liked some of them. I really didn't like some of them. They are already overpriced. The majority of them really smoke like a $17 stick, and they're already asking $30 or something.
Yes. Okay, and then is... STG will discontinue CAO Osa Sol, CAO Session, and Diesel Grind.
Ooh, the CAO Session is a pretty good cigar, though.
Yeah, and they're discontinuing. They're just moving on.
Yeah. Well, it's always, you know, there's times when brands run its course. And by the way, that's another example of the difference between a manufacturer and a brand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scandinavian Tobacco Group is a holding company. It's not really a manufacturer.
Right.
But, you know, CAO would be a brand. In their portfolio. And I want to say the Session is the one that has a heavy citrus.
And then Raíces Cubanas launching new cigar portfolio by Ralph Montero. So the Alec Bradley makes their stuff.
Yep.
And so they're going to be launching their own line, these people, so Ralph Montero. Fábrica de Tabacalero de Tabacos Raíces Cubanas S de RL. Jesus Christ. It's just one of those long ass ones.
So Alec Bradley's not producing this cigar, but it's still not their thing. It's somebody else's thing.
Yeah, and, so it's going to be in Honduras.
Any idea about the cigars or the price point or anything like that?
Yeah, so it actually doesn't sound terrible. So, like, the Clásico Robusto is going to be one of their names, the 5x50, $7.25 a stick. It's like affordable prices, $7.25 a stick. $8 a stick, $8.40, $8.50, $8.75. Yeah, man.
That's a welcome addition.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate that news of the week. We are smoking the J.C. Newman Yagua. We highly complimented the presentation on this, and we have had some really cool things to say about the flavor.
Yeah.
I have not smoked down as much as I should because I'm talking, but the only thing I will say that's negative is... As I'm more than halfway through, some harshness has picked up. It is harshing the back of my throat. And then I would say that the flavors, I'm not sure if they're muted or if it's hard to pay attention to them now because of that harshness. But it does seem like it went from a holy fuck flavor bomb in the first half inch to a regular cigar. What do you think?
Give me a second. I have to relight from all that yapping.
It also has this warm wood accent right now that wasn't there initially, but the cedar is completely gone. It's changed into, like, just warm hardwood.
Yeah, I was about to say some hardwood in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot more flavorful at the beginning, like just a explosion flavor burst.
It was. It really was.
Like I said, party in your palate. That bacony flavor's kind of gone. It's very subtle.
Yes. And I would say that the strength has picked up and the pepper has picked up.
Yeah, the strength, definitely. I can feel a little bit of nicotine rush as well. It's like, yep, there's a Nicaraguan.
Yep, there's a Nicaraguan. And so I think my final strength rating for this is a 6.
I was going to say 6.5.
6.5, yeah, 6.7.
Easy band test.
Yeah, so the band does slide off pretty easily. I think that's because of the shape. I'm going to try to peel mine and see what happens. And it is glued, and it's glued to the wrapper, and I took a little wrapper off. Came off easily enough, but you can see I took the wrapper off. So it's time to rank this cigar. And as usual, we start with presentation. Love the box.
Yes.
Love the rustic presentation.
I love everything about the look.
If you buy a box, it should come with a Yagua leaf strip wrapped around them. I have my number. What have you got?
All right. I'm going to say 10 just because I
had a 10.
I love everything
about
it.
I had a 10. I think they nailed it.
Cool shit.
Yes, I think they fucking nailed it.
It would definitely be 11 if I bought it because getting a little piece of Cuba in your book just is awesome as shit.
All right, so that takes us to construction, and I can't take any points off. You had a little pinhole when you started, but the draw has been smooth and even.
Yeah.
Great smoke output. You know, it's not heavy smoke. It's not a smoke bomb, but exactly what you'd expect in smoke output. I had a 10 for construction.
Same. 10. But real quick, I know you have delicate lips, so how did it seal for you? Because I know that's such a big deal for you, especially with it has an awkward shape.
So it's okay, but if you look at mine, by the time you get to the head, mine's almost perfectly round. The other thing I'll say about these is you can actually change the shape by rolling it a little bit if you need to. But, the part that goes in my mouth is just a standard Toro.
Nice.
And fits fine. That brings us to price. So at $10.49, this is pretty approachable nowadays. For a Toro and for the flavor and stuff that we got. I've got a value number in my head. What are you thinking?
I was thinking 9.
I was thinking 9 as well.
Yep.
So I could go with an 8, but it's hard to produce something like this for less than that. Honestly, I'm a little surprised. I would expect this to be like $12.50 nowadays.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe because of the manufacturing process, it's cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, and they pass that savings along to us.
I could definitely see this as an $8 stick. Or maybe it is an $8 stick, but only because of where we're at.
No, the MSRP is $10 on it.
$10.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that's not bad for where we're at then.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then flavor. So, man, this started out just amazing. It has tamed down to what I would call a regular cigar.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, it feels more dramatic because it was so good starting out. And there's a little harshness. And it is a little disappointing because, honestly, I have half my stick left. And if the initial flavors could have maintained all the way through, I'm pretty sure this would be a 10 for flavor.
Yeah.
As it is, I've got a 6.
Okay. I was going to give it like a 7.
7. We'll go with 7.
Yeah. Got a little harsh and vegetal here at the end.
Yeah. Well, and it's not the last third. It's the last half. Right? So I would have liked to ride that train a little longer. And it's more pronounced because it was so good to start with.
Yes.
If I lit it up and it lit up like this from the get-go, I would be like, oh, it's a CAO.
Dude, that first, like, that bacon flavor was dope as shit.
It was awesome. It was. And so that brings us to experience. And, you know, if we always talk about use case, very versatile. It's cheap enough, you can probably do some stuff with it.
Mm-hmm.
The strength has picked up, so I will issue a warning. Like, if you start out, like, a football party, you get past the halfway point, you might feel it.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful.
Drink.
totally, yeah, you can totally share it with friends, but it's definitely not a gift cigar or something. Although it could be a cool, unique gift for a cigar person.
It's just like, here, look at this shape.
Yeah.
Like if they collect unique looking sticks, like, here you go.
And the first one I had was a gift from Edwin.
Oh, nice.
So that was very, very appreciated, you know, because this is a unique stick. Definitely can smoke it in the lounge. It's really not at the level for mowing your lawn or something. It is a little too steep for that. And I think it's too strong at the end. You know, if you get past the halfway point and you're doing something out in the sun, you're going to fucking feel it.
Yeah,
I think.
You are.
So for experience, I have like a 7. It's pretty cool.
Okay,
like,
I was going to say 7-8.
Yeah, like the story and the presentation and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's super cool. It is a little limited. So we went up on flavor for you, so we'll go down here to a 6.
Okay.
And that brings the final score for the J.C. Newman Yagua Sorta Kinda Toro to 42.
Damn, that's pretty good.
That is a pretty good score.
There you go, guys.
I would say at 10:49, fucking swing by, pick you up a handful.
Hell yeah.
You're going to love them. And then, you know, just be aware, like, our experience is the first half is pretty fucking good. And then it does fall off to taste a little bit more like a budget stick.
Yeah.
But that first inch is worth it.
Dude, it's just so memorable.
Yeah, it's a great cigar. All right, so, man, it's we're way too far into this show, so we don't have time for treasure or trebuchet, but I would treasure this.
Same. I'm going to finish this.
I'm going to finish mine. That is all we have for you on Burnline Podcast. Don't forget, click the link below and send us your vote, and we will take it into consideration. If you have a cigar you want us to try before the time runs out for this year, send it to us, and we will try to smoke it on the show. We want to make this your podcast, and we will go from there. Shout out to everybody out there that makes this possible. We love you. We'll smoke with you. Have a great week.